Amen, amen. Well, I want to just exhort you this evening on something that I think affects every one of us from time to time. And I'm calling this teaching Fatigue and Weariness. Fatigue and Weariness. And the Bible encourages and exhorts us to fight the good fight of faith. And I wonder why. Because of what we face. And the enemy is such a master at trying to get us to be tired, fatigued, just feel we can't go on, no inspiration, battling joy, and all the usual thing. And he will really try and work and amplify on this. But the Apostle Paul was often encouraging the churches to carry on to your inner race. We walk by faith. We don't go by feelings or what we hear or what we see or whatever it is. And more we learn that our faith, our belief in the power of God sustains and keeps us. And we all of us have testimonies of where, when we look back in our lives, we have to just give God all the praise and all the glory, how he got me through, how he got me through that trial, how I was so tired, yet I found that energy to be able to go that extra mile. And this is where, of course, our confession is that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And it's through these experiences do we draw from the life and strength of Almighty God. And these are very real experiences. And fatigue and weariness can affect all of us. It certainly can affect me, and I know there are times when I have finished preaching, teaching the word, and I just sit back and say, that was a miracle what God did today, because it was not in me. And God allows us to go through these experiences to show that he is faithful, that he is the one that has overcome all things, and that weariness, fatigue, tiredness doesn't lie in him. He's now triumphed. He's risen. And so we experience that resurrection life and power. And he wants us to know that we are experiencing that. And there's no finer way than knowing that when we are tired. And there's a reason for that, because this encourages us. It shows us that I can walk this walk, whatever the enemy tries to throw at me, however hard life becomes, or the burdens become heavy. We go through seasons where it just seems that everything is piling up. Everything just seems to be becoming such a burden, such a demand on me. People want so much from me, and all of this. And this is where we learn to walk by faith. This is where we learn to just simply trust God and know that the resurrection power that resides in us kicks in. Don't know how it works, but it does. But we equally know that wrong mental attitudes and thinking can also be draining. This is why we put on the mind of Christ. And the Spirit renews our minds. This is why I always keep saying that when we come together and we listen to the word, It's not only just teaching us, it's also healing, it's deliverance. It's working on our minds, our attitude, our thinking, you know? And this is where we can make a positive confession. There are many times when I felt tired and exhausted, and I've just lift my hands and said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Or I might sing that chorus that we sing of the joy of the Lord. And you just find that you are revived. Something is quickened within you that you cannot explain. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. But our trials and fatigue and weariness can be mental and also physical. And I probably think the physical, we can rest. Jesus was tired. We know in the storm, in the boat, when the disciples were crossing the river and a storm brews up and they become fearful. And what is Jesus doing? He's sleeping. So we see that he had need of sleep because he got physically tired. But mental weariness and fatigue is another thing. And this is where the devil tries to work in the mind. And he will work it often by challenging the word of God. He will challenge God's faithfulness. Or God hasn't really heard your prayers. Or he's not going to answer this. This isn't going to happen. And all the while he's trying to work that mental weariness, fatigue. Because that is where he likes to get us and attack us, in the mind. Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So we see that if the mind is dwelling on the negative, then the negative will come through physically. It always does, because the mind, as we know, has great control over the body, over the flesh. But it's easy to become weary, especially when waiting for answers to prayer. And when the Lord will, in time, he will work. But during that time, while we're waiting, he's working, or he's going to vindicate his name. He's working behind the scenes. And that is a time where we have to rest, we have to trust and believe and not become weary or despondent. God has heard. The word of God says he hears the prayer of a righteous man. It avails much before his presence. It's interesting that in 2 Thessalonians, the apostle addresses the church there with regard to what we're talking about. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says, "But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good." So we know that the apostle was encouraging the church at Thessalonica with regard to the coming of Jesus, and that the church will be raptured, will be caught away, because they're becoming despondent. People now are, brothers and sisters, are going to the Lord, and they're probably getting fewer in number. What's happening? What's going on? This is why I always identify with these two books, because FGA, in many ways, we've gone through similar experiences. But what does he say to them? These things might be outwardly happening, but don't grow weary, for you are doing good. In other words, you are doing what the Lord wants of you. And that is what we do. We do everything unto the Lord, what pleases him, what he delights in. And when we know that, and we are doing that, that is where we draw our inner strength from our work, our labour in the Lord, which says it's not in vain. And of course, the enemy will always try and twist that. And he will always start to get us to doubt and to get us to question. And when we start to doubt and we start to question, we are using up spiritual energy that we really need for our everyday walk. As I said at the beginning, the enemy is so subtle how he tries to attack our minds. You see, God has brought us to a place in this assembly where if things aren't right, the love and grace and mercy of our Heavenly Father will show us. I have always trusted and believed him for that, that whatever we have need of correcting, or whatever he needs to say to us that we're not seeing or understanding, I've always believed our Heavenly Father will show us. Not always immediately, but he will always show us. And he does, and he has, you see. And so we needn't become weary or questioning. There are many times we don't understand, and God doesn't always show us, but he will show us at the right time and in the right way. That you can be well assured, and he certainly has. We have a testimony of it over the years. What does it say in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 10? Galatians chapter 6 and verses 7 to 10. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So he's giving a remedy here, a help. He's saying, don't grow weary. God's in control. Even though you are sowing to the Spirit, and it seems as though not much is coming as a result, he says, don't grow weary, because we have opportunity to do good, and especially to those of the household of faith. And that helps. That helps to minister to our brothers and sisters, the love of Christ, and to fill in where a need is especially needed, to help if we can, or God's calling us to do so. So we see that there are practical things that help not only with our sowing, but also not in growing weary while doing good. And sometimes the enemy will use that when you're doing good, you're doing things for the Lord, and he'll start to become vocal. Well, they're not very thankful, are they? They're all taking it for granted. They're all using you, and so on. That's what you have to avoid. You have to really close the mind from the enemy when he suggests those things. And he's all done it to all of us, because he knows that that will make you weary. This is where you will become spiritually tired. Until you come to a point, if God doesn't intervene, I'd say, I've had enough. I'm walking away. And many Christians have walked away precisely because of that. And they didn't do anything about those fiery darts of the enemy working negatively on the mind. You see? The enemy is a master. He knows how to try to do it. And many times he appeals to logic. And outwardly, it can appear as though it has truth. But from God's side, it is not. God always has a bigger picture in every situation. Everything God that does in your life, my life, and all who listen to this teaching, there's always a bigger picture, a bigger work that he's doing behind all of it. We just don't see it yet. But eventually, as we stay with it, we remain faithful and everything, it begins to pan out. And then you begin to see, wow, Lord, I see now what you are working behind the scenes that I wasn't ready yet to see. And when we experience that sort of thing, that is the kingdom of God. That is what pertains to the kingdom of God. That is the greatness, the bigness of the kingdom of God. But the enemy tries to lock us in to the kingdom of self, inward looking. And that's when we lose sight of these things. So we should see then that in our sowing, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart when you go that extra mile and they're ungrateful and they give no thanks or recognition. Don't lose heart. They did exactly the same to Jesus. You did it unto the Lord and you pleased his heart. And that's all that matters. His face shines down upon you with pleasure. And there are times, brothers and sisters, he will let you know that pleasure that you have given him. And it is wonderful. It's so warm and loving when you know that you know, you didn't, you've worked hard, you've gone that extra mile, and it's just almost thrown back in your face. And then you get that wonderful touch from your Heavenly Father, but you did it unto me, and I recognized and I saw it, and it gave me much pleasure. Nothing can take that away, you see? And you will get those experiences because you are sowing to the Spirit. The Apostle Paul had to learn that one in his ministry with all that he went through and all the responsibility of the churches upon his shoulders. Even with our prayers and intercessions, our being faithful, praying, God says, you're doing it unto me. Building relationships, loving the brethren, doing good to others as the Spirit leads. All of this we do unto him. Our steps of faith, which at times can look ridiculous, crazy, God says, you do it unto me. We're called to be peacemakers where there at times is turmoil. God says, you do it unto me. Why? Because self is always put last by the cross that we bear and take up each day. Why? Because as he says in verse 8 of Galatians 6, for he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. There we are, Romans 8, walking in the Spirit. And he says, you will have eternal life because you're doing it unto me. And that's why he says, don't grow weary in doing good. Continue, because you are ministering, you are doing it unto me. And when we can get that from the head to the heart, and you will, you just find that that grace is there, it's sufficient. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter that I wasn't recognized or thanked or whatever it is. I know that my Heavenly Father heard it, he saw it, and I have pleased his heart. That's what relationship is about. What did the apostles say to the Corinthians? In 1 Corinthians 15 and chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. He says here, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. There you go. And it's not. Because you're doing it unto him. And that's all that matters. That's all we should be consumed with. That each day when we get up and in our prayers before we meet the day, Lord, this day what I do is first unto you. And we will get that realization and knowing of that in time. Because, you know, the Lord's faithful. And it's right that we do it unto him. It's right that we give him the glory. And that our first motive and heart is always for him. That's what salvation relationship is about. It's what you do in a relationship, you see. And so God really does love that. There are times when it seems there's nothing that is happening. It's all gone quiet. Where are you, Lord? So on. Well, we've all experienced that, but what does 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 15 have to say? 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 to 15. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to those things, be diligent, be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. As also in all his epistles, speaking to them of those things in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist their own destruction, as they do also to the rest of the scriptures. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, that beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forevermore. So, even when nothing is happening, we are growing in the grace and love of God. Now, you see, God's heart is always to save. That is his heart, that is his motive. And that is why he gives us this wisdom to understand the ways of God as we open up the scriptures. Because this is what is saving us. This is what is giving us eternal life. Always remember that. Even when it seems as though nothing is happening. Often I've found when outwardly it looks as though nothing is happening, very, very much is happening spiritually. It's just the enemy tries to come and deceive and so on. And as we bring this to a conclusion, what does James have to tell us? James 5. Where are we? James 5 and verses 7 to 9. James chapter 5, 7 to 9. Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. And so it goes on. So we're doing this because of the coming of the Lord. And it describes God as a farmer, that through the sowing, he's waiting for the harvest to reap, to bring it in. And he's not rushing it. He's not forcing it. And thank God he doesn't do that with you or I. Have you noticed the loving hands of our Father? How, yes, he works with us. Yes, he'll even chasten us, but he never forces us. He never tries to force this growth in us. He's patient, waiting, long-suffering, until the last Gentile is saved. Why? Because the nature of the word is redemptive. Everything that God does is redemptive, that none should perish, but that all should come and have eternal life. That is his heart. That is how he works. That's his attitude. And that all takes time. The salvation and working of salvation that God is working through this fallen world that is so utterly confused and wicked takes time as he works in the way that he does. So waiting on God is resting, that he has it under complete control. When it looks as though things are out of control, or my life has come out of is out of control, things have gone from bad to worse, remember, God has got it under complete control. I always think on that when the pressures are on, when it looks negative, and it looks as though things are out of control. It might be out of control, but it isn't with God. He's got it under complete control. And in time, he shows you. And that's why you see we have that rest by faith. And this is absolutely essential as I close with this. This is why we preach and teach faith as we do. Because faith gives us that rest. It deals with fatigue and weariness, those things the enemy tries to work, as we know so well in Isaiah 40 and verse 31. You know this very, very well, but I think it's very applicable. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. As they're falling by the wayside, as we're seeing the great falling away and confusion on the earth, you are rising up in the power and might of the Spirit. And they will see that you don't fall, but that you stand when everything else is falling. And they will see, like those wings like eagles, that you fly high with God, that you have that relationship with him, that you hear from him. You have his discernment that you can see that others can't see. This is what he's building with the overcomers. So I think God has addressed where there are times of fatigue and weariness, and we know what the remedy is to rest in him and let him continue to do that work as he is the master builder.